Hey guys, well, I went live real quick. Welcome back to another edition to Psychic Seer podcast. And I'm your host, Nicole Desborn. And I got another wonderful co-host, Tom Kale. Did I finally say it right?
You did.
I
You
should
got
ask.
it perfectly right. Great
Okay,
job.
so we're going to try something different today. As y'all know, I've had quite a few weird experiences, not only with the paranormal, but also with the UFO. And now, apparently, I'm seeing an alien. So, I'm going to share some clips and we'll be back. Stay tuned, guys. I hope you guys liked that intro. I'm
Love that
also a
intro.
pianist. But
Was
hey,
that
I'm
all
just
you?
feeling
That was all done by
honest.
you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. That was really
Thank
good.
you.
Great
I
job.
surprise myself sometimes.
It's a very elegant instrument, the piano. You know, I often ask my friends, and I have asked before, at work and things like that, if you could be good at one instrument, what would it be? And I would pick the piano. A lot of people say guitar, you know, but I would definitely be piano for sure.
I play guitar and keyboard, but piano is more my instrument.
There you go. Nice. So, Nicole, we have some weird stuff to talk about today.
Yeah,
And
welcome to my world.
well, that's true. The more I talk to you, the more things happen.
Same
And
here.
you know, you could probably live cast your entire life and people would catch everything on video. You
I
know, but
try. It's hard to document something, and especially when you're right.
well, when you're in the
Don't know
moment,
what
and
to
this
do
is
next
true,
situation.
and that's true. Like, we have to think when we're in the moment, right? It's very hard. When you're trying to figure out your own situation, right? It's very hard to think, oh, I have a phone. I need to go get a voice recorder. I need to go get a camera. I need to, you know what I mean? It's very hard in that moment. And we try to keep it in the forefront of our minds, but also we have to try to figure out what the hell it is too. So, you know, at the end of the day, we
Sometimes I'm
are
fearful,
human.
but sometimes I'm fearful for your own safety as well in that
Yeah,
area.
yeah. But no, when you came to me and was like, "Hey, do you want to hop on a pod?" And for all everyone
Thank you for
listening,
coming on a short notice.
oh yeah, no problem. But for everyone listening, this wasn't a planned episode or anything like that. We just hopped on the mic
No.
because some weird stuff happened, and we got to talk about it. We got to share it
I
with
could
our
write another
wonderful.
book about it.
You should. You worried
Home
about our wonderful
backyard
experiences.
aliens.
Yeah, you do have backyard aliens. You've sent me video of them. You've uploaded on the website too. So, but
Okay.
one thing that I guess let's first like I guess we have to do the first intro to this. You
Sure.
had an encounter with an insect in your house. And I know
I
people
see
might
it in the
laugh
front yard.
in your front yard, I'm sorry, in your front yard.
By my
And
mailbox, where usually
why
I see weird
And how
things.
far away is your mailbox from your house? Do you have a long driveway or?
Yeah, it's a long driveway.
Okay, so it's out there pretty, you know, a good bit away from your house. So when you have this experience with this insect, you being a psychic seer and being able to be in touch with, you know, other forms of consciousness.
Yeah.
When you saw this bug, what was the first instinct that you got from it?
I got real negative vibes from it. That's why I learned to listen to my initials from a very early age. And so somebody told me to run, so I did.
Yeah.
I felt it about running.
So you felt, did you feel fear or sadness or what was it?
Mainly fear.
Fear? Okay.
Yeah.
So when you have fear of this thing, which you, when you see insects, you know, you don't have that with other ones, right?
Maybe with spiders and snakes.
Yeah, but that's more
not
of like
that
a,
much fear.
But that's like an earthly fear type of thing, yeah. Not the type of panic that made you turn and run away like how you had with this. So I guess let's start, let's describe, you know, for the audience, I know you described to me, but let's describe what this bug looked like.
The only way I can describe it is it looks kind of like a black widow and only has four metallic legs. And the way it turned around and looked at me, I was like, okay, time to run.
Yeah, and with your hand, how big was?
And I have small hands and probably broke my hands.
So it was about the size of your hand?
Yes, so.
That's a huge bug. And it also, when you think of bugs, they have six legs, they have eight legs, and then you get into the centipedes and millipedes.
It only has four, and it looks like metallic.
So, gray or silver, shiny, that type of thing?
Silver, shiny, yeah.
Okay, perfect. So we have that going on, and it elicited a response from you, a fear response. Now, if I see, you know, your hand or so, that's gonna give me vibes, but you had a different take on it, right? You took it as extraterrestrial. Talk about what made you think that.
Because the way it acted, mainly the bugs don't turn around and look at you, right? I'm not much expert per se, but you know, the way it turned around and looked at me, you know. It noticed that I was there. It's like, okay, that's weird. But still ask like that, right?
Yeah, definitely very weird. And I wanted to bring this point up. There's a thought that aliens or UFOs or extraterrestrials, oftentimes they come here and they need or want to be camouflaged, or they want to be, they want to take on a form. Yeah, they want to be in disguise, right? They for whatever they might need to do. Maybe it's a scouting mission. Maybe they just need to see us interact, or maybe they just don't want to bother with us. Who knows? But there is a common belief that they do take on forms similar to ones that are here on Earth, but they're just slightly different. This has been true. If you believe in the Men in Black argument, where they're actually aliens, not our own people, because they're described as individuals who, when you scan a room, you would think they're human. But as you look closer, right? As you look closer and you see them and you see they're, maybe they're missing eyebrows, or maybe their features are, you know, one ear is smaller than the other, or their features, their head, their eyes.
Go ahead. They didn't have any set of face whatsoever. It's all smooth. No eyes, nothing.
So it didn't even have any eyes or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So even more proof positive where it tried to take a form of an insect here on Earth and it didn't get it quite right. Or it got 90% of it
funny,
right. And, yeah. Like it got 90% of it right and not the other 10%.
Yeah.
One idea behind this that comes all the way back from 1985 is Whitley Strieber's book Communion, where he talks about his own abduction and being in contact from beings from another realm. And I'll read a quote from it. there was a white owl that used to stand in our backyard and watch the windows of my bedroom when I was a child. It made my folks nervous. This was during the time that they started nailing the screens shut. So he would mention in his encounters that he would see a barn owl staring, not just scanning, not just looking, you know, like how a typical bird would look around. You know, owls are predatory hunters. They look for mice, rodents. And it would be staring only at his window, so much so that his parents had to nail the screen shut. So if we were to believe this abduction story, we also have to take into account that these interdimensional beings or extraterrestrial beings are taking on other forms, such as animals. Because if you walk, Nicole, if you walk to your mailbox, you see bugs, you know, you'll see whatever wildlife is around at the time.
Bees and bugs.
Yeah. And so this one's odd because it was so different, it got your attention, right?
Yeah,
so it got your attention, but it also gave you a feeling that a bug wouldn't normally give you. Now, if you saw a fly, if you saw a beetle, if you saw a regular bug that you've seen a million times walking along the side and normal size, right? Not yay yeah. big, but normal size, you wouldn't pay any mind to it, right?
Right.
So when you have that going on and it turns around and you know it's its head, but it doesn't have eyes. Did it have like a mouth or anything like that? Antenna?
No.
No. So it sounds like they tried to copy a bug and got 90% of the way there and didn't know how to finish it off, right?
Seemed like.
Yeah, because humans are the devil's in our details type of thing. If you saw a person with a torso, two legs, two arms, clothed, head, ears, hair.
I've seen face. A headless ghost before, so yeah, I totally know.
Yeah, I've seen a topless, not that way, but a ghost without only legs and not, you know, not the upper half. But, you know, if you had all of that, you don't look at that and say, ah, well, that's close enough to a human. No, you think that's not right because it's not, you didn't go that extra, it didn't have that extra 10% to make it a human. The eyes, the nose, the mouth.
Right.
If you had now one with eyes, nose, and mouth, and its eyes were too far apart or its nose was not in the right place, you would also know that this isn't correct either.
Yep.
So, all in all, what would you say the message was behind this?
I guess it wanted to be seen, but I think it's trying not, I don't know, trying not to be scared. And eventually, we may have to live with aliens. I don't know, coexistence, maybe. Something about, but I can see that in the near future, maybe. They're trying to give us, like, a warning, or I don't know, how overcome a man's fear of us.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well,
to me, any of those things.
Whatever the reasoning is, it put off an impression that it wanted to be, it didn't want you to interact with it, right?
Right.
So it's probably safe to say that you weren't the target. You weren't a part of whatever its mission was, right?
I actually heard a voice say, you better run.
You heard a voice?
Mm-hmm.
So you heard a voice that said, well, I didn't know that. You heard a voice that said, you better run.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why I both ran.
What kind of voice? Deep? Was it male, female?
It was pretty deep. Kind of male, yeah. Yeah, I knew I wasn't, you know, alone. So I was like,
so run. So. You've encountered demons before, correct?
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's not a pleasant thing. But you encountered demons. Did it sound like a demon, or was it you thought it was maybe more extraterrestrial?
I think it's more extraterrestrial, to be honest.
Okay. So it didn't give you the same feeling as when you, you know, from previous experiences with a demon, right?
Right.
Okay. So we can at least make that separation now that it's not, you know, demonic or even angelic. It was more, it was here to do something and it didn't want you to pay attention to it, which
yeah, or interfere or something.
Yeah. And we're fearful creatures anyway, so it's not hard to give fear to a human.
I think we look ugly too.
we do. That's exactly right. So when you have it trying to just pass me by, it reminds me of another story I've talked to a fabulous woman, June Edward. She mentioned a story about how she was in a restaurant, and I think it was a city. So there's a lot of people. It's, you know, it's popular and it's busy time or whatever. And she said, I can know who's, you know, she knows, okay, your soul's in you. And she came across one individual who she's like, that's not a human. That's an extraterrestrial in a human's form as an attachment.
Oh, wow.
And when she talked about that as an attachment, she said, I got no more than to finish that thought in my head that this person turned around, looked at me, didn't say anything, but in her mind she heard, just pass me by. I don't want anything, you know, just forget I'm even here. And she said, I didn't give it a second thought. It's not hurting me. It's not hurting the person I'm with. So I'm going to leave it alone. So when you tell me that, I've actually heard that before, that it can send in your mind dialogue, basically, and a voice and a message that said, leave me alone, pass me by. I'm not here for you. Don't bother me. What do you think of that?
Kind of reminds me of Bigfoot scenario, because he's the best hider, and like, I think he just, like, he doesn't want us to know he's there or something.
Yeah. Now, I've heard that too, that some Bigfoot observers or experiencers have said.
He's here too.
Yeah, have said that it didn't talk to me, but I knew what it wanted. Mm-hmm. You know,
kind of ESP.
Yeah, like ESP.
That's how most aliens work, I think, because a lot of majority of them, you know, that I've come across him with other guests that I've interviewed, they said mostly they seem to communicate with their mind, or if there's some form of ESP or something like that. They have either a little mouth or no mouth at all.
That's true. I mean, every time you see, you know, a rendering or anything like that, most of the time it's a gray, and most of the time grays have like a slit, just a little tiny, you know, mouth. That
I come across blue beings. I call them blue and they're blue.
Yeah, there you go. So when we have that, and when you talk about that, it's very interesting that you don't know this other woman, but you told me it did something that she also told me it did. And I think that's fascinating, because it puts the credibility through the roof, right? You know what I mean? Right. Like, you had a legitimate experience and it was outside, you know, you weren't under the weather, you weren't on drugs or anything like that. You had your own experience with something supernatural, which we can all agree, UFO or not, this is above the natural world. So it's supernatural. So
well, maybe it wasn't bad or something. We had bats out here. But how big is it supposed to, a bat can hit? They hit pretty big, right?
Yeah, I would say probably, you know, most of them would be 2 to 3 inches, you know, before the wings, and probably up to a foot, I would say.
But in the daylight?
I'm but sorry, anyway, what?
I think something towards, it's almost like twilight. Yeah, towards the evening. I don't know if they come out that soon.
How big was it?
It was quite big. All I seen was like the shadow of it. So
okay.
I didn't even dare to look up. And if I see it, I would have freaked out. And run again. Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's look at this objectively, right? So if there is a shadow on the ground, most likely whatever's casting that shadow isn't as big as what that shadow is. So if you look up, but you know, if something's 12 feet long on the ground, then yeah, it's going to be really big. You know what I mean? When it's up in the air. So when you have something like that, it's a shame you didn't just glance up at it. Now, oh, here's something. Was it flying erratically like a bat? You know how bats are like up here all over the place?
Yeah, it's sort of crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I mean, a bat flies for me sometimes like, ugh.
Yeah.
But this one stayed up on high. It didn't come around me at all.
Okay. Now, from what I gather about bats, they don't really fly too high, such as other birds and things like that. So it couldn't have been that much bigger than what the shadow it casted was, which is fascinating. Right. And, you know, there is a lore of thunderbirds, especially in your area. Of huge birds, avian creatures that fly. Some have reported more like a dinosaur. Some have reported a bird, but just a lot bigger. Some have reported sort of like a buzzard or a vulture type of bird. You know what I mean? Just bigger.
Just yesterday, we see another big bird flying around the busy streets area. We turn and like, yes, they saw it too. So
yeah, and so
he was telling him it looked, yeah, big or bird. I don't know what to call it.
And you wouldn't have any of them naturally, right? Near you, pelicans, or you know, it's more of a
no, and we're quite far from the ocean.
Oh, there you go. So, like, you know, it would be odd. Yeah, so it would be odd to have something, a water bird, that close to where you are.
Yeah,
that's for sure. So on top of this encounter with the bug, you also pretty eventful dream about it.
Yeah, sometimes there's some of these vivid dreams or nightmares and I come out with them a scratch mark.
Yeah, and so tell us about the dream first.
But it's the one from that I can remember. It's always good to write down your dream. Because later on during the day you might forget. Sometimes if you're that powerful, I can recall them for years.
Oh wow.
So this one, I just remember seeing another portal and some people going through it.
In your home, or?
It was some other place.
Okay.
I think I was astral traveling or something.
Okay.
Yeah, I felt drained when I woke up.
And so you saw people that, walking through a portal?
Yeah. That's
and
how
they
I
were
remember.
People.
Yeah, astral people.
Okay. And then how did you get that mark on you?
You know, I'm not sure if I expressed myself or, you know, taught me, you know, I don't know, trying to debunk it, but it's not hard.
Yeah, but did you remember having any interaction with that area on your body in your dream, or no?
Not that I recall, no.
Okay. So when you had this portal dream, right? And you might have been astral traveling, which does drain you, and you felt a similar type of draining, right? When you were done this dream. Do you have any recollection of where this place could be? Was it near your town or across, or was it another dimension?
I believe it's another dimension.
Really?
I didn't recognize the area or the people or whatsoever, you know.
Did it look like our world around us or different?
Slightly different, but much brighter.
Okay, what was the difference?
The way how it's brighter. How I see some auras sometimes. Like, I see your aura right now, it's kind of bright.
My aura? Thank you.
You
sure it's not Cassandra here?
No, I'm sorry. Sometimes the auras are so bright it hurt my eyes.
Oh, okay. So this one was so bright it hurt your eye. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So that's wonderful information. So I do believe that was some traveling experience, but the question is the mark, because now you went from a theoretical and metaphysical world to something actually physical on your body. And what type of mark was it? Is it a scratch? Is it more of a bite? Is it, what do you think it is?
It's a seal cut mark. I get those sometimes.
It's a what?
It's like a seal cut line.
Oh, a single cut line.
Yeah.
And okay, so if it was a scratch, you would have more than one. Three, you would have two, three, however many it would be on your body to know it's a scratch. Does it hurt?
Yes, yeah, it hurts. It burns. Normally, they usually burn.
Do you have, you know, is it like scabbed up? Was there blood?
There's a little bit of blood still in there.
Okay. So, if you, do you think that these two events could be related in any way?
I definitely think it could be related.
Do you think he came back to your home?
Possibly.
In a different form.
Might be an attachment I might be dealing with.
Okay. Okay. So you're going to have to whip out the Palo Santo wood. And
yes, holy water. I'm not going to use either. And I can say, I know people. I know people.
Yeah, you sure you do. Yeah.
I don't think that works.
You don't think what works?
If I say I know people. Trying to steer them off.
Well, let's tell the audience this. If you believe you have an attachment, what's the first thing people should do?
Try to seek out help with their local church. Or if they know a paranormal team, they probably give you more better resources. Now that we have better resources.
Okay. And why shouldn't you try it on your own?
Well, it may be so powerful that one day it might be a possession, and you don't want to feel that far.
That's true. That's one of the things that I was told, is you could just piss it off, anger it, and it could go from bad to really worse. Yeah.
I try to ignore it, you know, but it's hard to ignore.
So what are some, and if people are listening, or, you know, what are some common signs of an attachment that you can let people know?
Like if you wake up with marks or something, and if you have hostage dreams. And it's also similar to a possession or a demon attachment. Some similarities. So just note down what you experience, and that way you can have that to back you up, you know, if you need help. Yeah, that's the first step, is to seek out help.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've heard draining. I've heard physical, physical stress. And you're a psychic seer, so I'm sure you agree with this. You know, some of the people I've talked to said when they see an attachment on somebody else, it's around the back area. It's literally like they're riding you. You know what I mean? You see a dark,
like a parasite.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's definitely important, because, you know, when you talk about the worst, and the worst is, you know, demonic possession, right? So when you talk about the worst, people need to realize that doesn't just happen. It doesn't get there
right away.
It's
very rare. I mean,
you go through a period of wearing down, and it wears you down, and it wears you down, and then it attaches to you, and then it gets into your mind, correct?
Right. Even though I'm part of Warren Lake Sea Foundation, they say the majority of the cases are not demonic. It can be something else, like mentally or attachment, and it really went back to my...
That's very
dark cases. So, yeah. It doesn't mean it's always demonic.
No, there are a ton of low vibrational energies around us every day, every time. One piece of advice that I can share and I've been told is if you wear religious garnishments, if you pray, if you, you know, you say an Our Father or things like that, it will pass you by more often than not because it doesn't want to put up a fight. There's so many other people who don't do that stuff that they can attach like that, and it's a much easier kill. Think about like a lion or a cheetah or something, and they go for the wildebeest that's in the back of the pack or the young ones on the side of the pack. Whatever it might be, they go for those first. And why they do that is they're not going to put up much of a fight. You know, it can conserve its energy attaching onto somebody who is like that. Is that true, Nicole? You know, that's what I've heard.
I believe so, yeah. So I feel like the walking target sometimes.
Well, I mean, if you are able to see it and you're able to speak to it and you're able to feel it, subconsciously you are acknowledging it, correct? So
yeah,
you
that's
already
the one thing you don't want to do.
And that's true. Because you could theoretically piss it off, for lack of a better word. And then it's like, you know what, I like it here. You know what I mean?
And it'll wear me on, as a threat.
Well, it could. It could see you as a threat because you know it's there and it knows that you know it's there. So people like you, psychics, mediums, empaths, they have to keep their walls up much more, I think, than the general public. Yeah. And when can you physically not defend yourself? When you're sleeping. You had an astral projection, whether you knew it or not, or a dream. Let's just say it was a dream, right? And you have a mark on you that's a single claw mark or a single cut. That is a time that you are defenseless because you're asleep. You're human. You have to. That's, you know, law. What is it, like 2-3 days and you'd be dead if you didn't sleep? Like, you can die really quick without sleep. So I think maybe if you did reach out or you found some some practitioners in your area or a community, you know what I mean, that can send you good thoughts,
prayers,
good vibrations.
You always ask for prayers.
What was that? And prayers, yeah. And
prayers.
Yeah.
Power in prayer.
There is power in prayer. I'll pray for you. You already know I do, though. So, no problem. And you know that there's things that can be done to help that. And, you know, there's a ton of activity in your area. And not just your area. I mean, like the general southwest of the United States, too. There's a lot of traumatic land from, you know, native wars, indigenous wars, things like that. You know what I mean? That have gone on that hasn't been rectified.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of things going on that seem to populate down there. And you can see why. If you're a UFO and you're coming from space, right? And you look at the United States, you have the East Coast, which is lit up like a neon sign. Mm-hmm. But out west, in the southwest, there's not too many, is there? You know what I mean? From Montana to, you know, and I know that's not southwest, but if you think of like Montana, Wyoming, even parts of Colorado, and then down into all the way down to New Mexico, Arizona, and then eastern California, where you would be, there's not a lot of huge cities that would make that light impression. So of course they're going to think, oh, there's not that many people. I can fly into this area. And what do you have most of all? What is it, about once a month you have a UFO sighting? Maybe even more?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're in an area with a hot spot. And I think people in your area need to keep their guard up even more because of the prevalence of this.
I should ask the neighbors if they've seen anything.
For sure. I mean, you never know. You
I'm
never
not
know
ready to.
Well, also, this is information that people don't voluntarily like share or anything. So, right. You know,
especially
like,
if I don't know them that well.
Well, that too. And if you talk to them, maybe they'd be more likely to do that. But they won't come out first. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, they won't come out first. But if you ask them, then they'll be able to come out and do that. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on the whole thing. You know, getting part, it sounds like they are related, and you know, you just have to take care of yourself spiritually. You know, yeah, we can definitely do everything physically, but we also forget that there's a mental and a spiritual part of all of our bodies as well.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I know you've been doing the most talk, and I do appreciate it. And trying to think, what
thank
else
you
I
so can much.
I have so many experiences. I have another show with.
Yeah, right.
Experiences I have.
Well, you know, I love the reactionary shows that we do because
we should do more.
You're getting right to the source of this, because if we waited a month, you might forget something. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think you know, we should continue these and get it out to people that you are still raw in the emotion. And I'll let you know if I have something. You know what I mean?
Tell when I've been kind of quiet. You know, you've been kind of quiet.
Absolutely. So we should, you know, we'll continue this, and as long as you people still listen, we'll keep doing it.
Yeah, definitely. And I have my first book out, and I'm gonna see it. Yeah.
There it is.
It's really. I added more to this book, but I just remembered some more experiences. And there might be a part two of that edition.
Always can add more.
Definitely, you got a book out too.
Coming up. Yeah, it's coming out. I just got my author proof right here, Healer, Conflict of a Gift. And check it out. You can get it anywhere you, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, ebook, paperback, whichever you like. My first psychological novel crime thriller. So. Healer by Tom Calway, and you know, it's on pre-sale right now, and it'll be out for sale officially May 14th.
Awesome. Sounds good. And I already ordered pre-order.
Yes, you did. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Okay, no problem. So I know you've been a host, and you've been a guest for my last show. You want to share a little bit about yourself really?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, so I have a show for everyone. I'm a co-host on Chasing Prophecy, Tuesday radio show, 7 p.m. Eastern to 8 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, 4 in your time, Pacific. And I am on UPRN. I got another show that they let me have, Beyond the Radar, which is actually in a couple hours. It's Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. your time. And it's your paranormal news program. I go through the stories of the week and give my take on them, and we talk about everything, and it's an interactive show. People send in, people text, people send in stories, people send in encounters that they have, and we go over them and just talk about things that, well, are beyond the radar that the mainstream media doesn't cover. So that's my shows.
Oh, thank you for sharing that and before I lose my voice. Yeah, I definitely will be sharing some more stories.
Absolutely. I can't wait to hop back on.
Yeah, thank you again for coming on. Just for notice, I know, and we started early, sorry, yes. But we have our time zone differences, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that just means we wanted to get to it. We just wanted to get to it, and as long as they're not on Thursdays, I can do any other time.
Sure, yeah. And so I do appreciate your help. And
no, thank you.
Theories and everything like that, I look forward to these. Good morning episodes. And yeah, feel free to share this show with you guys. And thank you, Tom, for helping us out today. And I do appreciate your help. And I want to share what I'm about to share. I do appreciate your input and everything.
Thank you.
All right, y'all, have a great and safe day. And I'll see you guys in the next, I think it's. When is it May?
May 7th.
May 7th. We'll be back with another awesome guest returning. Yes, he's actually star from Hollywood. So he's pretty cool. So yeah, thank you guys for watching or listening. Let me know where you're listening from. And this will be a replay and everything. So feel free to share and everything like that. And thank you guys. Have a great night.
No problem, Tom. Everyone. Have a good night.
Playing video here. All right. Welcome back. And by the way, you may listen to Psychic Seer podcast. And I think I'm just this title for now. All right, guys, take care. And I'm your host, Nicole Dasper. Thanks, Tom.
Yep. Bye, everyone.